From the Firebird Radio Studio, it's the Authors on Fire podcast with nationally syndicated radio host and producer, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, our newest book song, where we create a unique, one-of-a-kind song just for your book, and of course, this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo, and today's guest really needs no introduction, Patricia Levy, a recent Firebird Book Award winner for the book titled Twinkle of Doubt, book two of two of the Celestial Bodies romances. She is an award-winning best-selling author, formerly associate professor of sociology and founding director of gender studies at Stonehill College. She has received career awards from the National Art Education Association, the American Creativity Association, the American Educational Research Association, and so many more. I love these two. In 2018, she was honored by the National Women's Hall of Fame in SUNY New Paltz when they established the Patricia Levy Award for Art and Social Justice. And then recently in 2024, the London Arts-Based Research Center established the Patricia Levy Award for Arts-Based Research. Really impressive awards from a truly lovely, lovely human. And that's just a light surface scratch. There's so much more to know. Welcome back, my friend, Patricia Levy.
Thank you so much for having me and for your always generous introduction. I always feel very shy when you're being so kind with your introductions.
No, don't be shy. You did it all. And plus more, we could probably spend the day just reading the bio for sure. So we'll,
you know, though, there are so many people who do so much and they don't necessarily have their work recognized, but they do all the same wonderful things in their own way. So I do appreciate very much that it's been recognized, but I am also very aware that there are other people who do great work, whether or not it's been recognized in the same way.
That's so true. And that's part of your charm. You're a very humble and honest person. So thank you. Thank you for saying that. And you're another Firebird Book Award winner with this book and the Lifetime Achievement Award, which came as part of our frequent flyers, because we're so pleased to have you back with each of your books. So the Lifetime Achievement Award, I was happy about that.
Oh, I have to tell you, that really means a lot to me, Pat. I mean, I was just talking to my publisher the other day about this in a completely different context. There was a group discussion about artificial intelligence and how, you know, some authors are not writing their own content, which I really question if they should call themselves authors, but that's a different discussion. But we were, you know, talking about the decades that so many of us spend working on our craft. I mean, you know, I've been writing since I was a little girl. I was like orally reciting stories to my parents for them to type up before I could even write. You know, I was like 5 or 6 years old when I started doing that. And I'm 50 years old today. Oh. And I've been a published author for more than 25 years, over 50 books. So, you know, it's just something I've really dedicated most of my life to. And so I have to tell you that lifetime achievement recognition really and truly meant a lot to me. So I'm extremely grateful and honored.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm always grateful and honored that you share your books with us. That means a lot to me personally, and I know to our audience as well. So thank you, my friend. Well, today, Patricia, you and I have shared so many author interviews. So today I thought maybe we'd do something different. Instead of focusing on the usual questions about your writing process or the latest book, I thought it would be interesting to bring your readers directly into the discussion. And by that, I mean, I've gathered a selection of online reviews specifically from this book, Twinkle of Doubt. And I'm going to read a few of them to you one at a time and then invite your reaction. Maybe not so much just what you think, but what perhaps these reviews reveal about your work, about how it's being received, and about the connection between the writer and reader. And I just thought that after so many conversations, this might feel like a fresh way to explore your book through the eyes of people who actually experience this book and all of them. So if you are good with that,
I love it. I love it. I love a good twist and I love something different and I love to bring readers into it. So this sounds fun.
Good, good, good. This is an experiment. As I told you in the beginning, you, every now and then I allow you to be the guinea pig and we do something different.
So. I am honored to be. It's fun.
It is, just to try something different. So let's see where we land. All right, let's start with the first one. It's this review says, Patricia Levy's romantic psychological thriller, Twinkle of Doubt, peels back the layers of scars caused by childhood trauma and gives readers a twinkle of hope that one can overcome the worst of the worst. As a clinician, it is difficult to explain the pain that trauma deposits on a soul and the residue of that pain that lingers many years later. This healing story has made an indelible mark on my soul.
Oh
yeah,
my God,
let's talk about that. That really digs into the heart of this book.
Oh, I mean, I couldn't be more humbled by that. And I'm so grateful that that was that person's feeling when they read the book. And I appreciate them bringing their professional experience into it too. You know, this entire series, The Celestial Bodies Romances, there are two books out so far, as you know, Shooting Stars Above and now Twinkle of Doubt. I've actually written 6 books in total. So we're going to be releasing one once a year. So it's a big romance series, but really to me, it's a series about the healing power of love and how love can help us heal our visible and our invisible wounds. And so, you know, Tess Lee, who is the protagonist, on the surface, she's somebody very enviable, somebody aspirational. She's extremely talented. She's like the most successful novelist in the world. She's beautiful. She has a wonderful chosen family of friends and her partner, Jack, who is absolutely the love of her life. And so she has this, you know, really wonderful looking life. She's very wealthy. So there are certain things she just doesn't have to worry about day to day. However, when you look a little deeper, she's in the lifelong process of overcoming like horrible trauma from childhood abuse. She was sexually abused for many, many years in childhood. As a result, when she left home when she was 18, she never went back. So she has complete family estrangement. And she really had to build a life herself and a family of her own, a chosen family. And so it is very much about, I don't want to say overcoming, but building a life through the pain of past trauma, because I do think that healing is a lifelong process. I think it's a process, not a destination. In Tessa's case, it's childhood sexual abuse, but it can be many different things for many different people. It can be bullying. It can be physical abuse. It can be, you know, growing up with an alcoholic or drug addicted parent. It can be many, many different things that leave these sort of deposits on a person's soul and that you have to deal with for the rest of your life. And so to me, this is really a story about how Tess finding love with Jack and with her chosen family, it doesn't fix or erase the past, but it allows her to carry it. And it allows her to sort of walk through the darkness towards the light of hope. And so I just absolutely love that this reader felt that the book ultimately had a hopeful message for abuse and other trauma survivors, because that's certainly my hope.
Exactly. I love how this person wrote, the title of the book is Twinkle of Doubt. And this person wrote, gives readers a twinkle of hope.
I love it too. I mean, you know, readers are so clever. And when they connect to something, they make it their own in these really amazing, amazing ways. And I absolutely love that. I love that too. And, you know, there's a scene in the book, which I won't give away for people who haven't read it yet. But the titles of each book in the series, they mean something in the book. And they're all sort of like celestial. So they're all based on the stars, but they're all a metaphor for something else. And so there is a scene near the end of the book where you find out what twinkle means in this story. And, you know, it's a star twinkling, but you find out what it means in the story. And it is this question, is it this, is it that? And so I love that, you know, the title is Twinkle of Doubt and this reader said Twinkle of Hope. It's like, it could be this, it could be that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes things are how we choose to look at it. And, you know, my hope is that when readers read these books, if they enjoy them, if they embrace the characters, then they will choose to look at things in a more hopeful and optimistic way, even when there are challenges.
Mm-hmm. And you do that by adding a little bit of sass or wit or something to the book. So it's not like a downer. And that's what this next review, I thought this was interesting, that this person said, sometimes enormous threats from the outside wind up feeling small in comparison to what we've already faced within ourselves. With Twinkle of Doubt, Levy consistently illustrates this essential truth of trauma recovery while delivering laughs and zingers aplenty. In a world where wit is often an underappreciated weapon, this tightly crafted sequel to Shooting Stars Above sparkles brightly and pierces straight to the heart.
Oh, I love that.
Thoughts
so
on
much.
That.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. I mean, you know, the whole premise of each book in the series looks at love and something else. So in Shooting Stars Above, it looks at love and healing. And Twinkle of Doubt looks at love and doubt. But it's the doubt that's happening in our own minds. It's the audio that we have in our own minds that we are not enough. We are not good enough. We are not worthy of love. Does this person really love us? Are they going to leave us? All this sort of stuff. So it's really about, you know, it's about the audio in our own heads. And I love that a person picked up on this, that the biggest threats really are not external. I really believe to the core of my soul, they're internal. Yes, terrible things can happen, and something does happen in Twinkle of Doubt. There's a big, hopefully exciting, suspenseful thing that happens in the book, and it's very much about an external threat, but it's really just a device to look at how the characters feel about themselves and their relationship and to give them an opportunity to grow, because really all the external stuff is just triggering our internal stuff. And that's definitely true for trauma survivors, but I think that's true for everybody, because we all carry scars, wounds, insecurities, pain from our past, whatever it might be. And so I love that this reader picked up on that, you know, really one of the essential truths, I think, in life, not just in the book, is that the biggest threats often are internal. And in fact, the external challenges that happen can be small in comparison to what we put ourselves through mentally in our own minds. And I also really appreciate that they picked up on the fact that, you know, I didn't want the book to be a downer book, and I very much don't see it that way. And so I'm glad this reader doesn't, and I hope others don't either. So, you know, I basically try to balance having the light, fun, humorous, sexy, whatever it might be, bits with the heavier bits. I mean, I'll tell you something, Pat, I might sound crazy telling you this, but I'm going to do it anyway. This is how I've always thought about writing my books, and especially writing my romance novels. I think of them the way a pastry chef might think of baking a souffle, where it's like when you have a really great souffle, you have the light, airy bits. And when you dig your spoon deeper into it, it becomes very decadent and rich. And that's how I sort of think of crafting a novel like this, where you want to have the light, airy bits. You want readers, you know, to laugh and feel joy and experience humor and all of that. But then you also want there to be substance. So, you know, it's stories that matter, characters that matter, something to take from it, something maybe that provides comfort. So that's sort of my goal writing. And so in this book, there are some scenes where I use humor, I use jokes, I use funny situations, all of that kind of stuff to inject lightness. So it's sort of a mix between the lighter and more intense moments.
Oh, I like the souffle analogy. And as well, though, in making a souffle, you've got to have skills. So there's another layer to that, you know, where you said there's light and airy bits and it's decadent, but the person that's creating the souffle definitely has to have some mad skills in order for them to present the souffle properly.
Well, you are very, very kind. And that goes back to our earlier conversation and why the Lifetime Achievement Award meant so much to me is, you know, I've been working on this craft for many, many decades. And I hope that each book is better than the last one. I hope, you know, the books that I'm writing now are better than the ones I've already written. I hope if I'm lucky enough to be writing books 10 years from now, they are better than the ones we're talking about today. So there's always this hope of just continuing to work on your craft. But I do feel like, you know, I feel very proud of this book, Twinkle of Doubt. I feel proud of the writing. And I, you know, I look at each book and, you know, we can all be very critical of ourselves, which of course is one of the themes in this book. And definitely any artist you will ever talk to, there is no one more critical of their art than they are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have insecurities, we have fears, we have all of those kinds of things. But I do try and look at my books as clearly as I can when I'm finished with them. And there's usually something that I think like, oh, gee, I did a really great job with that, in my opinion. And, you know, this other part, like that wasn't the strongest part of it. I try and look at, you know, what I feel was the strongest. And when I was finished with Twinkle of Doubt, I felt that really proud of the structure of the book. I thought there was a really good flow between these, you know, lighter, more joyful moments and the more intense moments. And I felt really good about that. So if there are any readers who pick up on that as well, that is absolutely a joy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Speaking of baking, Twinkle of Doubt is contemporary literature at its very best, one that hides its lessons inside perfectly baked cookies that leave you feeling better about the world and the people in it.
Oh, I love that too. I mean, it's obviously very, very kind. And it's, you know, with this series, I try and do something different with every series or if it's a standalone book with the standalones. But in this book, the characters are very aspirational. So in this series, you know, Tess Lee is very aspirational. They're all aspirational characters insofar as they're extremely kind and good people. So much so that I've had some people say to me, oh, I don't know if I know anybody this kind. And, you know, of course, my question is, well, are you this kind? There's a message in that. So these are aspirational characters and they are, I look at them as role models in many ways. And so I think that this reader's comment about the perfectly baked cookies sort of encapsulates that, that these are aspirational characters. But my goal is to show what is possible. And I think that that is what this reader is getting at with that quote, which I absolutely love. This idea that, you know, when you're done with the book, hopefully you feel better about the world and the people in it. And that's because they're aspirational characters. Right. And I think we need that. I think we need role models of what could be and what is possible. And with this series, I was very cognizant of it because there's an expression in our culture that I don't like very much. And the expression is hurt people, hurt people. Mm-hmm. And I totally understand that. And I know at times there can be truth in that, but it's not always true. Sometimes hurt people can love others in extraordinary ways. Sometimes they don't hurt other people. And in fact, they develop so much compassion and empathy that they go out of their way not to hurt others and to be kind and nurturing to others. So I really wanted to bring that out with these characters. And I think that's part of what that comment about feeling better about the people in the world, I think that's part of what they're getting at. Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult sometimes to find role models in the real world. And so that's where books come in and where you can find these people that resonate with you, just as you are creating with Tess and Jack. And so here's another one that kind of speaks to that. Tess and Jack show us how love of self is what we need to heal and find our strength. Once again, we find Tess struggling with dark shadows until the light of love shines through. Love is like stardust that scatters light into our dark places, illuminating a better path. I cannot wait for the next Celestial Bodies romance.
I absolutely love that. I mean, you know, because we've talked so many times over the years and become friends that I love love, Pat. Like, I love love. And I know that it's a cliche thing to say, but I don't care at all. I will write about love as long as I can. I will champion love in all forms, in any way that I'm able to do, because I know how powerful it is. And I think we live in a world that is so deeply and profoundly challenged, especially right now. I feel like people feel that these are difficult times. People are very divided. People are very polarized about many things. There are many scary things happening in the world right now. And so there's just a lot of darkness. And all you have to do, I mean, even forget about the news, just go on the internet, read the comments people are leaving. You know, there's a lot of unhappiness right now. There's a lot of anger and angst and all of that sort of stuff. And so I feel like, what is the antidote to all of that? And the antidote is putting more love into the world, putting more goodness, putting more role models for what that might look like and feel like. And I really do believe that all love begins with self-love, which is, of course, the hardest love of all. So I think it's a lot easier to love and be good to others than it is to love and be good to yourself. But I think that's really where it starts. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in the book, you know, Tess is wonderful to other people. She's always wonderful to other people, but she is much harder on herself. And she is not always kind to herself. And it's Jack's love and the love of her close friends that help her learn to love herself in real ways and to be kinder and gentler with herself. And that is what's transformative for her. And it's transformative for all of the characters, you know, really learning to love yourself and talk kindly to yourself and treat yourself the way you would treat others. And so I just feel like we really need more of that in the world right now. And the great thing about books is you can meet a lot more people across the pages of books than you're probably going to meet in your real life. Mm-hmm. You know, we all sort of have a limited set of people we meet based on, you know, where we live, where we go to school, where we work. You know, it's, you know, most people's real circles are not that big. But when you're a reader, you're introduced to so many more people and you can see so many different approaches to life and ways of living. And so, and I love that as a reader myself. I love experiencing life in different ways and seeing different personalities and seeing how different people respond to things. So that's a part of what I enjoy offering to others.
Mm-hmm. And book characters give you choices, whereas in life, you may not necessarily have a choice as to who you come up against or who is in your circle. But in books, you can choose. And if you don't like the character, you could stop reading the book. Or if you do like the character, then you follow that author along. So just the fact of reading books gives you so many more opportunities and choices than it does in real life.
Absolutely. And to travel, like even just mentally to different places, mm-hmm. you know, to experience different points of view, to experience different places. I mean, you know, sometimes like during the lockdown, I wrote, you know, one book, for example, that took place in Sweden. The reason I wrote that is because I was, you know, stuck in my house in Maine and I wasn't able to travel at all. And Sweden's a place I've been to many times that I love. And mentally, I just wanted to go there. And so I wrote a book that takes place there so I could mentally go there. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to write a book. All you have to do is read one and you can just be exposed to, you know, the world in different ways. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful thing. Reading is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I always bear that in mind when I'm writing. So I love that you're sharing some of the things that people have said.
I'm glad. This is fun to just to dig into each one. And some of these are just so well written. Just the short review themselves is impressive, the way the person is actually writing these. I have one more, and then I've got just a few follow-up questions. This one says, for two decades, author Patricia Levy has assembled a treasure chest of books that use storytelling to demonstrate the promise and peril of human existence and connection. Twinkle of Doubt is no exception. It is an impressive story that will compel readers to reconsider their own lives and the relational bonds they maintain or don't with others.
Oh, I love that. I love it. I love it. I mean, I really appreciate the kindness reflecting on my body of work and what I've attempted to do and continue to attempt to do. And I do hope, you know, one of the things that I love most in Twinkle of Doubt and really across the whole Slush of Bodies romance series is the chosen family. It's the friendship group. So while it is a romance novel, to me, it's about much more than romance. It really is about chosen family, friends, and having real, authentic, deep relationships with those people. So these are intimate relationships, the kinds where you really can tease each other and laugh at each other, but you are also there in a real way in the person's darkest hour. And so that's very important to me. And I think there are many people in the world for a variety of reasons who have had to create their own families, or who might consider that they have more than one family. So the one they came from and the one they've built for themselves. And that family, it doesn't necessarily have to have a romantic partner at all. It might be friends. It might be, you know, coworkers. It can be many different things for different people. But I think that those relationships are so deeply linked to our quality of life. I think having meaningful relationships, whatever they are, with people we actually choose and want in our lives and can be authentic and real with, I think it elevates our lives enormously. And so I think it's important to invest in those relationships and to be able to let go of the ones that don't serve you. Mm-hmm. And so I really think that that's what this reader is picking up on. And I just love it.
Yes, me too. Because we kind of tend to stick with the bonds that we're given, not necessarily think about, is this really serving me? Am I really serving them? And bonds that you either maintain or you don't. And I think the don't aspect of it is something a lot of people ignore.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, to follow up, I'm wondering, with all of the lovely reviews you get, do you ever get a review where the reader catches something that you didn't consciously intend?
Yes, Pat. Oh my goodness. I've learned so much from my readers over the years. So, you know, okay. So I will say this. I do try not to read too many reviews. I try not to focus on them too much, positive or negative, because I just feel like it's just stuff that can get in your head and it can stop you from being able to create, you know, and create on your own and really stick to your vision and all that. But that being said, I do see some of the reviews for every book. I have to be an author, and you know, my team that I work with sends me reviews. So I'm aware of reviews. And sometimes I get reviews, or, you know, if a blogger will tag me on Instagram or something like that, then I will read whatever they wrote so that I can respond to them and thank them for their time, because I really do appreciate it. So people will write things sometimes, you know, sometimes it's just something that I didn't realize I did. And they're usually making a compliment. Like, they're usually saying like, oh, this was so cool how, you know, she did whatever. And I'm like, wow, I didn't realize I did that. And sometimes I'll think back, and sometimes I'll even go back to the book and like read that section. I'll be like, wow, that is actually kind of cool. And it was a happy accident, because I cannot take credit. I did not plan it. I didn't even know I did it. And then other times, you know, readers will just have a very different interpretation of something than what my interpretation is. And that's absolutely fine. I mean, my feeling is that, you know, what people think about the books and how they interpret them isn't necessarily any of my business. So I see the characters in certain ways, their situations in certain ways. But sometimes a reader will see something very, very differently. They'll have a very different spin. They'll think it means something different. And I wouldn't even say it's right or wrong. It's just different from what my intent was. So I think it's interesting that people can have different interpretations. And that's one of the great things about art. But I will tell you, the one thing that happens that's a little bit funny and that sometimes makes me laugh is when a reader is absolutely 100% sure about something that is, it's just absolutely not what I intended to do. So for example, in one of my novels, there's a character who's a movie director. And I don't want to reveal too much in case this person listens to this. I don't know this blogger, but this blogger was 100% convinced that that character was based on a real director and named that director and said, like, this is 100% who it is. And like, they were 100%, Pat. And it absolutely no way at all was. In fact, it never would have occurred to me. There were real life directors who did influence my thinking when I created that character, but not the person that this blogger was completely convinced this character was meant to represent. So sometimes people just, you know, they see something, you know, from the culture, from something they read or watched or whatever, and they see it in your book, even though you didn't put it there. And that's absolutely fine. So, you know, there are all these different ways that readers will have ideas that either I didn't think of or I just didn't realize. And sometimes they'll pick up on something that I think is like really cool in a book that I didn't know I put there. And then afterwards, I'll start talking about it in interviews because it is in the book. I just didn't do it on purpose.
You got to love those happy accidents, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the magic of creation. That's the best part.
It is. It is. So I imagine reading and delving too much into reviews might even tempt you to change how you write because of the feedback. And that's not something that you necessarily want. So there's a delicate line here with the reading of reviews. And you know, we're only human, though. You take them rather personally, I would imagine. And hopefully
Absolutely.
It doesn't affect you. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, I love my books. Like, you know, I don't want to compare them to my child, my human child, but it is a very close relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, these books are like my heart and soul. I put everything into them. And so, yeah, you know, when you read negative things, it can be hurtful, which is one of the reasons I try not to do it because, and sometimes I do see them and it can get in your head. And then I have to like work to get it out of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And also it can work the other way too. I mean, you know, I started out, as you know, in nonfiction and I had some very successful books and because they were successful, I had many, many publishers offering me great contracts to basically write the same book over and over again. And I didn't want to do that. Like, that's not my vision for my career. That's not why I became a writer. I didn't become an author to just, you know, it's not a money grab. I'm doing things I feel passionate about and that I love. And if they're success, that's a bonus. But the joy is in the creation for me. So you can have pressure based on, you know, good reviews, bad reviews, whatever, to change your direction. And I've learned after doing this for many decades how important it is to stay true to who you are and to your vision. I believe every author and every artist in the entire world has their own unique fingerprint. Nobody can do what each of us does because it all comes through our own filter and our own experience and way of processing things. And so that makes art unique. And so I don't want to lose that. And so I go out of my way to try to protect it.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. All right, one more for you. Is there something that readers consistently get right about your work that you feel like, yes, they got it?
Well, I think they definitely get that at the end of the day, I am an optimist. You know, and I don't actually know that I was born that way. I think it's something I developed over time. But like at the end of the day, that I do believe no matter what darkness people go through in life, that there can be joy around the corner. And sometimes you just have to work to get to it. And I think that comes through across my novels. You know, some of the novels, they're like Hollywood based and they're just, they have, you know, less, the characters have less challenges than in this series, for example. But I think across all of them, all the characters are dealing with something, whether it's, you know, grief or commitment issues or healing from past trauma or body image or whatever it might be. They're all dealing with stuff, as most human beings are, but they all ultimately get somewhere better than where they are. And they do that with an open heart. Like that is at the end of the day, the only way. Like, yes, if you open your heart, you can get hurt, but it's the only way to get the good stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I do think my readers, especially the ones who have read all or many of the novels, they have picked up on this, that at the end of the day, whatever the book is, there is going to be a hopeful message. There is always a path forward.
Ah, and that is the beauty of reading your books, my friend.
Oh, you are so kind. Thank you.
I mean it. All righty. Well, this was fun. I hope you enjoyed delving into some of these reviews. Anything we need to know about what's coming up, things you're working on, anything before we begin to wrap up that we didn't talk about that you wanted to highlight?
No, thank you so much. I will just tell readers, you know, as I said, there are going to be 6 Celestial Bodies romances altogether. They are all written already. So folks can look for the next one coming out next March. And that is called Constellations of Love. So book three that follows Tess and Jack and their loved ones is called Constellations of Love. And it's about love and intimacy. And it is actually my absolute favorite in the series. And like I said, all six books are written. And of course, I love them each. But book three has always been my favorite book. It is, I think, the most uplifting of the books. So I hope readers who like this look out for that. And I do have other things coming out before then. So folks can always follow me on my website. There are links to my social media. So you can just go to patricialevy.com, L-E-A-V-Y. You can find my social media. And there are other books coming out. I have another romance novel coming out in September that I'm not talking too much about yet, but there are some other fun surprises waiting for folks. So for people who like a good romance novel, please stay tuned.
You always make me smile. I can't wait for Constellations of Love. That's going to be a good one, I can tell.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you for always joining us, for sharing your beautiful, heartfelt books with us, for talking with me. I always so appreciate spending time with you and obviously look forward to more of your work. So thank you.
Thank you. You are the best, Pat. Really appreciate it.